Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 52 degrees with intermittent light rain this morning. It's Tuesday, July 31st, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. With 4 days left before the deadline, three people have shown interest in being the next mayor of Sitka. Cheryl Westover will seek a second term in the office. She's facing a challenge from Assemblymembers Mim McConnell and Tor Christensen. McConnell has been on the Assembly since 2009. Her term expires this year. Christensen was elected to the Assembly in 2010, so he has 1 year remaining in his term. Westover first joined the Assembly in 2006. She was elected mayor in 2010. She won by 2 votes over John Stein. McConnell and Westover have been approved for the ballot. Christensen's paperwork was turned in yesterday afternoon and was awaiting the normal verification process. In addition to the mayoral candidates, the fall ballot also includes Michelle Putz and Matthew Hunter. They have filed to run for Assembly. Additionally, Cass Pook is seeking re-election to the school board. Those interested in running for office must pick up a packet from the municipal clerk's office in City Hall. It must be returned by 5 p.m. Friday. The municipal election is October 2nd. Sitka residents won't have any problem remembering where to vote this year. Local and state election officials say all Sitka residents will vote at Centennial Hall. The city's 4 voting districts have been consolidated into 2. Beginning with the August 28th primary, both districts will vote at Centennial Hall. The city previously had 4 separate voting locations. A Sitka motorist had an unusual accident Saturday morning when her pickup truck hit a horse. Police received a call shortly after 8 a.m. Saturday that a full-sized horse was running down the street near the 1900 block of Sawmill Creek Road. Horses are not common on the island. Fortress of the Bear keeps a miniature horse on its property. The horse involved in Saturday's accident is owned by a nearby resident. The animal received some lacerations to its left front leg when it was hit by a 2007 Chevy pickup, but was otherwise deemed to be fine. A veterinarian was expected to take a look at the horse on Sunday. In most of the remote communities of Southern Baranof Island, there aren't enough kids for a school, so parents have to homeschool, and both parents and kids try to strike a balance between a more traditional education of reading, writing, and arithmetic and a more creative approach. KCAW's contributing reporter Dinah Saverin has the story.
I can tell you where I find all the fish and stuff. Also, sometimes I net them. Sometimes I net the pinks out here, and most of the fish I find under rocks.
That's Allison. She is 6 years old with a couple of missing bottom teeth and straggly blonde hair. She's wearing rubber boots she's pulled over her sweatpants to bounce around over the barnacles and seaweed-covered black rocks of her backyard.
See that brown house? That's ours, and we just, like, see how close it is from the water? At low tide, I come out here and have fun.
More than just a natural playground, the world of critters crawling under rocks outside Allison's doorstep is her classroom, too. After 2 years in Little Port Walter, a NOAA research site, she can identify many of the fish swimming in the Sound. Allison, her parents, and her 2-year-old brother Sean are the only year-round residents in Littleport. Her mom, Teresa Abba, serves as her teacher. Allison just finished a year of homeschooled kindergarten. And because of her unusual home, Teresa says her curriculum includes some unusual lessons.
Like 3 weeks ago, we went out to pick some kelp. We were making kelp salsa. And Allie's like, oh, I hear a whale. I'm like, oh, great. And it came closer and closer, and I could hear it, but I couldn't see it. And that whale came up right in front of us. And we were in the kayak, and it just came up so gracefully and went down so gracefully. And Allie was just like, oh, did you see it? I'm like, oh, yeah, did you see it? You know? I mean, to experience stuff like that with your kids is fantastic.
And even though these experiences enrich and expand Allie's world, giving her an undeniably unique education, there are more serious lessons she has to learn as well. The state allows Teresa certain freedoms, a budget to choose textbooks and curricula, under the condition that she submit work for review every quarter. And Allie also has to pass annual state testing. Some of these required lessons can seem a little obscure.
And she's learning stuff that I don't even know. I don't know what a diphthong is. Do you know what a diphthong is?
A mile south of Littleport is the hatchery site Port Armstrong, where Dasha Contag has homeschooled her 2 daughters into high school. Dasha has found it challenging trying to relearn, then teach, subjects she hasn't thought about since her own school days, like geometry and algebra.
It's fun when they're little. Then they get older. Well, then you gotta get serious.
Her girls get weighted down with the constant battles with math problems, the lack of sports programs, and the loneliness of winter in the rainiest spot in North America. But being wedged between the Tongass rainforest and a cove in the Chatham Straits allows some room for creative interpretation. Dasha's younger daughter, Ayla, a 13-year-old with pixie-cut hair with pink highlights, is responsible for a few unique neighbors along the boardwalk.
It was pretty much my idea to have goats, because I just really wanted to have my own babies to take care of, and they definitely are my babies. When I decided that I would have goats, I read about 2 books on taking care of them. I just kept thinking about goats and what I would do for them.
With respective year-round populations of 4 and 11 people, Little Port Walter and Port Armstrong produce some unique child-rearing challenges. Dasha explains.
Went through a little phase with Ayla where I was worried that her best friends were going to be goats and ducks, but she outgrew it.
Both moms say teaching their children has given them a strong sense of purpose, but they also talk about the challenges, especially in the dark and lonely days of winter. They wear the mom hat and the teacher hat and the discipliner hat and the friend hat.
I'm like the everything, you know. When you live in town, kids go to school generally, or there's at least other tutors and classes and, you know, just more people around that are influential. And I'm like the biggest influence on everybody. And we all get sick of each other.
Back in Little Port Walter, Allie is watching their 8 ducks swim in a chain around the cove. Most were extras from a shipment Ayla ordered a few years back. Allie says they are her ducks, telling stories of each one and how she has raised them from chicks over the year, promising what good care she takes of them. She's picked up a few lessons from them, too.
I kind of learned some stuff from my ducks. Want to hear this quack? I learned it from my ducks, too. Sounds really like a duck.
For AK, this is Diana Savran.
Some Alaska communities are pushing back against a new requirement that ships sailing within 200 miles of the coast burn cleaner fuel. They say the rule, which goes into effect tomorrow, will hurt cruise traffic and increase shipping costs. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Tourism dominates Skagway's summer economy, so it's no surprise many there oppose the new fuel rules.
It takes years to get a cruise line, and it takes a second to drive one away.
That's Steve Heitz, owner of the Skagway Streetcar Company and a member of the town's Port Commission. He's telling Skagway's Assembly about new air emission limits set by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. They cover ships in coastal emission control areas, also called ECAs or ECAs. Heitz says cleaner fuel is more expensive, and cruise lines will pass that on to customers.
The cost of the ECA on a cruise ticket could be $150, or 3 times the cost of the Alaska head tax. We lost 5 big ships because of the head tax. By extrapolation, will we lose 15 ships?
Skagway's Assembly passed a resolution Heitz asked for by a unanimous vote. It calls for state officials to fight the new requirement, which lowers sulfur dioxide emissions within 200 miles of shore. The Northern Lynn Canal community is not alone. Haines and Sitka are among other towns passing similar resolutions. Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan also issued a statement saying the rules could impact barge traffic, and U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski took to her chamber's floor to point out that rural Alaska would see the highest price hikes from more expensive shipping.
The EPA's one-size-fits-all approach to environmental regulation, perhaps you can't quite shoehorn that in all situations.
The statements and resolutions came after the Parnell administration sued the EPA and other federal agencies to block or amend the rules. The industry is also fighting the federal government. Alaska Cruise Association President John Binkley says ships might shift to other countries that don't require the strict limits.
Alaska is an expensive destination because there are long distances to travel, so fuel becomes a much more important component of the overall cost of the ship.
The EPA wouldn't provide anyone for an interview, but a press release from the agency says sulfur pollution from bunker fuel used by cruise ships and some barge lines has been linked to respiratory illnesses. It says children, the elderly, and asthmatics are among those most at risk. Some Alaskans support that approach.
Compared to having a tremendous amount of air pollution in Alaska waters, I think that it's worth it.
Gershon Cohen is a Haines Clean Water and Air activist who's been involved in cruise ship issues.
It's not going to come out of the cruise industry's pocket one way or another. They're going to pass that cost on to consumers, and for the thousands that the consumers are spending, I don't think they're really going to ever notice.
Canada and a number of other nations are already imposing the new standards, which are part of an international treaty. Opponents worry that impacts will be far worse in 2015. That's when the EPA will further limit fuel sulfur content by a factor of 10. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
You can learn more about the different sides of the fuel debate through links posted with this story on our website, kcaw.org. Miami rapper Pitbull can now say he's safe from bears in Alaska. Pitbull received bear repellent spray and bear bells used by hikers to make noise during an appearance yesterday in Kodiak after tweeting he heard the local Walmart sold the spray. In a marketing deal, Pitbull, whose real name is Armando Christian Perez, agreed to visit the Walmart that got the most likes on its Facebook page. Kodiak was the easy winner. Pitbull also planned to meet and pose for pictures with fans, but no concert was planned. Kodiak Mayor Pat Branson intended to present him a key to the city with a short rap of her own. Pitbull tweeted a picture of him holding a child on stage in Kodiak and said, "Thank you, Kodiak. I'm honored, truly." Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain. Highs around 56. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, highs around 59. This is KCAW in Sitka.